our thinking and our processing of things, our imagination, and being disciplined in our thought life. As we go into the Word of God here, let's just have a prayer. Come with me then into prayer. Heavenly Father, speak to us, we pray, through your word. Speak to our hearts and our minds the truth of your words. In Jesus' name now. Amen. Amen. At some point, I'd want to go further into some of those things because I really think it's important that we understand that there is a war taking place, a war of ideas. Let me explain it to you like this. The news media, which seems to have been against the president, Donald Trump, is an interesting tool. It's a weapon, if you like. The man who invented the television was a Christian man. He went to his pastor and he said, I have come up with an invention to tell a vision. I've come up with an invention to tell a vision. And the pastor said, and the man said, I'll give it to you if you think you can use it for the church. And the pastor said, I can't think of much use for that. I can't picture what that's going to be of any use for. And it was there to tell a vision. And so what we have now today are advertisers telling a vision. We have stupid production companies making stupid television programs, telling their foolishness and their filth and their stupidity to people who watch it in the middle of their homes, listening and watching it and being brainwashed by the vision of someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ and in fact is an enemy of the gospel. So it's an interesting weapon. And let me tell you, everyone in this room, you've been brainwashed. Does that come as a shock? Well, you've been brainwashed to some degree. Let me define brainwashing. Brainwashing is the ongoing input of an influence or an idea into a mindset with an aim ulterior to that individual's beliefs. And to some degree, we've all had that. Now, if you aren't aware of that, now that I've pointed it out, fine, maybe you're one of those ones who's escaped that. But in my experience, as I've spoken to people, I haven't come across anyone who hasn't had some influence from the media and from biases, and we're not isolated from those things. And I want us to be aware of that so that when we come into the Word of God, we're aware of it and we say, right, whatever ideas or preconceptions I might have had, I now put them to one side and I choose for the Word of God and the ideas of the Holy Scriptures to now be my understanding for life. For the Word of God to form my understanding and the precedence of my life. And I'm aware that I might have wrong ideas because I have been subject to wrong ideas, whether it's through the news, whether it's through my friends, through my family, whatever it might be, we've all been subjected to those wrong ideas. They're everywhere. Modern life in many areas is a tissue of lies. I mean, it's a tissue of lies in so many areas. Lies upon lies, hypocrisy and lies. It's everywhere. And the antidote to those lies is the truth. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And he says to us today, listen, mark yourselves this day then to be now people who take on board my truth and use what I've given you for my will and my purposes. He says in his word, and let's go into the word of God now, Philippians 4 from verse 4. He says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Everyone say that. Be anxious for nothing. For what? Nothing. But what about money? Yeah, but what about money? And what's going to happen next week? What about COVID-19? Answer everything with be anxious for nothing. Okay? Let's read on. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, this is very important. Having a thanksgiving attitude. So important. Not a whiny, whingy attitude. We want to avoid whiny, whingy attitudes. Complaining, whining, and whinging attitudes. That's not the attitude of the Christian. The Christian's attitude is thanksgiving. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's a great attitude to go through life with. It's an attitude that receives, you see. A complaining attitude is a faithless attitude. When someone's in faith, I'll tell you this, they don't complain. When someone's in faith, when they walk in faith, they have a thankfulness. Faith on the inside manifests in thankfulness on the outside. Are you with me? When there's faith there, what happens is thankfulness radiates out. It says this, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now think of the illustration that I gave at the start of this service. We had the trustees meeting. We wanted to make sure we were careful, you know, that we were doing the right thing for the people. We didn't want to be just gung-ho. We needed the Lord to speak to us. We prayed. And I had a picture of us having an excellent service. Having an excellent service. And Pastor Dennis had a picture of, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. I'll enter his courts with praise. Those words came to him as we prayed. That assurance. So what happened to us? The trustees prayed. The Lord spoke, and then what happened is we entered into a place where our hearts and minds were guarded. We had peace, you see. Total confidence in coming to church today. Absolute, total confidence. How can you be so confident? Because we had prayed, and we had an answer in prayer. Now, that doesn't mean to say that then we don't use all the safety measures that we have in place. Of course we do. We're being wise and we're using all of those. You know, the Christian has to be wise. Nothing wrong with being wise, but we can be confident in God and confident that we've done all that we can and we can meet together. Everyone's happy. You see? It's a beautiful place. Then it says this, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are true. This is why sometimes I speak about what's true, you see. And I speak about what's true, and I'm so pressed on what's true. The spirit of the age isn't so bothered about truth. The spirit of the age is a fudge. It doesn't like absolutes, like this is right and this is wrong. This is what happened in history. These are the facts. 2 and 2 is 4. The modern spirit, the spirit of this age, isn't bothered about those things. It doesn't like those things. It wants things to be a fudge. Doesn't like that type of thing. Because that type of thing exposes it for the lies and corruption that it has. And this is why the New Testament is always speaking about truth. And it's not just theological truth, it's all truth. Political truth. It's truth in everything that we do. It's the truth of who we are, how we live our lives, how you are when you get home afterwards. It's truth in its widest context, how we are when we're in work. It's truth. It's the biggest meaning of that word. It's everything that applies to truth. Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? Right before Jesus was put up there. A man who was the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father except by him. He is truth. And I'll tell you this. When you've yielded your life to Jesus Christ, you will be bothered by lies, whatever they are. Lies won't settle with you very well. Political lies, lies in the news, lies in those, they don't settle with you well. They irritate you. It bugs you. Because the spirit that you have is one of truth. Am I making sense this morning so far? Yeah? Making sense? I think I'm preaching better than some of you are listening. I don't know. I heard someone say that before. I like that, you know. I think, I want to hear, am I making sense so far this morning? Yeah, thanks. Because honestly, let me tell you this. When the enemy doesn't want us to study this word, okay? The enemy doesn't want us to get involved in this truth. And the enemy doesn't want you listening with intent. When I come to church this morning, and when I go into the Word of God, you know, I'm going in with an intent. I'm not just coming along just to have a nice time and go. I'm coming along to get something from God. Amen? And I want everyone who comes along to come along and take something away from God. Come with an expectancy that God is going to speak to you and then take what he says away with you. And let that into your life. Let it shape life. But so many people have got so used to dead religion, coming to church and just going through the motions, and they're not taking things away. I'm not saying that's us. I'm hoping it's not us. Okay? You hear what I'm saying, don't you, everyone? I'm encouraging everyone, I mean every single person, from the youngest, Samuel Evans, to the oldest, whoever that might be. I want everyone to take something away with them. I'll tell you why I want this. Because in the week, as I think about the church, as I pray for the church, as I pray for the people, I have a sense of God's longing for us. I sense what God is wanting for each one of us. I sense that God is so for us. He wants us to just do so well but he needs us to cooperate, and we cooperate by being expectant. Coming here with an expectancy, saying, I'm going to take that. I'm going to live my life based on this. Many people, you know, someone said recently, they said, they've heard this verse of scripture before, and they've heard it again, and they read it again, and they're just bored. I thought to myself, what? Now, I've sort of, but in fairness, I understand, because I have experienced that sort of thing. But as I reflect on that, the problem was all mine. The problem wasn't the word. The problem wasn't some preacher that I was listening to. The problem was with me, that I wasn't expecting that God would produce the word that he's written. That was the problem. It was mine. And so I'm saying this to us today. Listen, when the word of God is speaking to us, take it with an expectancy. God won't force it down you. You have to take it and say, this is mine. I will live with this. I live and I will live with this truth. This is my anchor for life. Let me continue here. It says this. Verse 8 of Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learnt and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Meditate on these things. Now, meditate on these things, all of those good things. What does that mean? It means that we reason, that we conclude, that we suppose. In the Greek, that word for meditate there is the root word of the English word logic. So you reason things. You reason about all those good things. You think of those things. You think them through in a logical way, which is an interesting thing. Because at the start of what we've read, it says this. Watch this. Be anxious for nothing, verse 6, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. And then he says, use logic. So you use logic, you reflect on what God has done. But actually we go beyond logic at the start of those few verses. We go beyond logic and we go into the place that surpasses all understanding. Now, what surpasses understanding? Let me tell you something. One of the great gifts that God has given us. Imagination. Imagination surpasses understanding. There was a man once who imagined that you could be sitting in your living room and you could have a square box and switch it on and watch moving images. That took place in someone's imagination. That's how that thing started. It started in the imagination. Someone imagined that people could go on a metal object. A metal thing, mind. Because I would have thought a metal thing is heavy. You have to have something lightweight to fly. But it's a metal thing. It's very heavy, a plane. But that thing, someone imagined it, they understood, and they then learned the laws of, thrust and uplift, and then people can fly. But it started in the imagination. Now, let me tell you this. You've been given an imagination. It's a great gift from God. You have that gift. It's yours. It's part of the qualities of being made in God's image. God imagined the world to exist, and then God spoke, and the world came into being. He used his power, and he spoke the world into being. The imagination that we have, God wants us to employ for his will to be done. So we have an imagination, and we choose how that's being exercised. But my friends, and if it's not being exercised, you're a very boring person. Are you with me this morning, everyone? Everyone's still happy? Okay. It's the truth, okay? It's the truth. We've got to use the truth. God says to us this, imagine. But this is what he's saying. Imagine for yourself. Because God has called us to individual works. We know that he's prepared works in advance that we should walk in, and those we find through our imagination. God steers our imagination. And if we can use our imagination in line with his will, he'll take us on a journey that's beyond our understanding. You see, it takes us beyond our understanding. And this is what God has for us. It's not to be limited and pinned into what we can rationally do, what we think and we understand. No, God is bigger. And when God gives people dreams and a purpose, God's will is abundance. And he's given us this opportunity to live this life. He wants us to be victorious in all aspects of life. He wants us to take hold of this imagination, this tool that he's given us. And he's saying, now run with this tool. Use this tool. Use this tool and let it be something that shapes your future, your family's future, your future, the church right here, the church's future. Use this imagination. Jesus said like this. Jesus said some very powerful things on this. We won't have a chance to touch on all of it. Of course we won't this morning. But let me just summarize it in the words that I've used so often recently. Believe. Where does that belief take place? It's the heart. How does the heart? It's the imagination. The imagination is the heart. And that's why the Bible says you think with your heart. It talks about thinking with the heart. That's how we think with the heart. It's not the organ. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's not the organ it's talking about. It's talking about the inner part of a person, which includes the imagination. And so, this is what I wanted to say to you this morning, really. I've got to skip through here because I want to bring this to a conclusion. And I think we'll have to have a Bible study this evening, everyone. I think I'll go into more detail this evening. By the way, let me ask this. Has anyone been watching the, you know that we're now on channel, Sky Channel 589, Faith World TV. Yes, we're on Faith World TV every week, Thursday, 8:30. Has anyone, lift your hand up if you saw it this Thursday. Oh, well done. Oh, well done. Well done, everyone. That's more than I thought. Well done. Yeah, it's also then, it goes on then, if you haven't got the Sky, it's okay, it goes on to the website. And it goes on to which website, Liz? StephenLynnEvans.com. The reason, by the way, just in case anyone asks, the reason why we put it as Stephen Lynn Evans, not Living Faith Churches, there's so many Living Faith Churches around the world, and there's only one Stephen Lynn Evans that we found. So... So the television, the best way to do it is you have it linked with your name and then people can associate it better. If you have it linked to Living Faith Church, there's thousands around the world. So it's best to link it to your name. So StephenLynnEvans.com, and then you'll see the programs up on there. And let me ask you to do this, please. And if you're watching, anyone watching this right now as we're broadcasting this, listen, click on become a partner and just join so you can receive the updates. And when you go onto YouTube, click that thing and subscribe to it. It's very important that we do this. We want to build and really have this thing building so that what we're saying has momentum. Let me explain. What we're saying here, we've got a track record of many lives that have been changed. Many lives have been changed. So my conviction is this. As we share the gospel, let's share it to as many people as we can. And my brothers and sisters who are part of this ministry, as you all are, please get involved. You may not be able to preach a sermon, but if you share that message on Facebook or on YouTube, you're preaching. You're preaching with someone else's voice, but it's preaching. Amen? That's the way to see it. Didn't get much of a positive. I really wanted to have a much more positive response there. I don't know. Come on. Please, everyone, you know, get involved. Honestly, what does it cost you? Hey, let me ask you this. How much does it... Is this very taxing? You know, watch now. Watch me. Watch me, everyone. That's all it is. That's it. You just stretch it out. You say, okay, share. Now put your hand up if you think you can do it. Hey! That's it. You just go like that. Share. And then, you know, because what I'm saying is that then goes to other people and it gets shared. Let me share with you more on this because I want us to take something from this message into our life. And this is it. Let me summarize because we've got so much here that we could do. This is what I want to summarize. Right. There was an interesting experiment. Before the service, Pastor Beverly and me had a word, and this is what happened. There was an experiment that they did in a university where they asked students to immerse their hands into freezing cold water. And they measured the temperature change, and sure enough, there was a temperature change. And then they asked students to immerse their hands in just the air that was surrounding them, but imagine that there was freezing cold water that they were putting their hands into. And guess what? There was a temperature change. Why is that? The human nervous system can't tell the difference between an imagined experience and a real experience. Now that's scientific fact. In either case, it reacts automatically to the information you give it from your forebrain. Okay? This is very important. Jesus spoke on this. When he said, believe and receive. Pastor Beverly was saying that she was stuck in the car once in a snow thing, and she put a little fire flame on the little phone that she has there, and she actually did feel a bit warmer. The reason is, the scientific experiments have shown that the nervous system cannot tell the difference between an imagined experience and a real experience. In either case, it reacts automatically to the information which you give it from your forebrain, the front part of the brain. Now watch this. This is what happens. There was another experiment. Let me just show you this experiment as well. There was a study that tested how people threw a basketball in free throws. There was three groups. The first group, they practiced 20 minutes a day for 20 days throwing those free shots, okay, in basketball. The second group, they didn't have any practice. And the third group, they spent 20 minutes a day imagining that they were throwing the ball into the basket. And when they missed, they would imagine that they corrected their aim accordingly. So they really had to get into some detail in their imagination. The first group, which actually practiced 20 minutes a day, improved by scoring 24% better they were. The second group, which had no sort of practice, showed no improvement. The third group, which practiced only in their imagination, improved by, have a guess, how much? How much? How much? Oh, 24, very close, 23%. Just by imagining it. Well, what does this mean to us? Well, it means a lot. Because if we have a self-image, an imagination that tells us that we are sinners, that we're no good, that we're useless, that we fail, that we can't do this, that we'll never succeed, that we that we're just barely getting by, that we're just, you know, just insignificant people. If we imagine that for ourselves, guess what will be the result? But if we dare to believe that with God's help, we can live as a shining example of what it is to have Christ inside of us. He lives in me. He's alive in every born-again Christian. He's alive. And Jesus Christ isn't someone who is weak in someone. He's not someone who's puny. When Jesus Christ is alive inside of you, you have strength that you didn't have before. You have the power to do things that you couldn't hardly dream of before. And he's called us now to live with strength and power. And he's saying to us, listen, these are facts. I give you these facts to lead you on a journey that would cause you to believe and receive. That's what he's calling us for. Glory to his name. Amen. So let's take it into our week. Let's take this understanding into the week. My friends, I spoke on part one of this in the midweek service on Sky. And we're going into part two this week. And we're going to be doing some more programs on it. Because I think that if we can get people to see, we can get people into their imagination, and we can get people to understand, along with Philippians, that he can do more than we can think or imagine. And when we meditate on these things, we meditate on these things and we shape our future, our destiny in God, by meditating on these good things that apply to us and our lives. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Let's... Amen. 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 Bless you, sister. Thank you so much. Thank you, Donna. We appreciate that. That's beautiful. That's a lovely testimony. You know, it's interesting. I was when I had a picture the other day, I didn't do it today because I didn't feel yesterday that I ought to. I felt that I should be more relaxed. But when we had a picture of having an excellent service, I said to the trustee, I said, yes, we're going to have an excellent service. We're going to have an excellent. In fact, I said, I want to put those robes on. I want to really, like we have when we have an ordination or something, you know, we really go for it. And we just to make it special when we come together to have an excellence about the service, you know, a sense of the occasion is what they call it, isn't it? A sense of occasion. And that's what you've just spoken of there, you know, a sense of, yes, it's not normal, this. It's precious before God. Hallelujah. Yes.
And I love the bit about the police officers, when you give a statement, there's a little bit here.
That's right.
Here, you're correct there.
Oh, I know.
Yes. So I just wanted to say that. I think a lot of people, had there been a lot more people here, they would have had a security when they would have heard about the papers, because it would have gotten into them.
Yes.
And that is where most of the problem is.
Yes, the beauty is that we recorded it. So we can share this with people. It's been recorded, and I think that's a real blessing of having things recorded.
People don't realize it, but I have to tell you, my friend Isabel, we pray a lot, and this is the one thing that we have noticed all through it all.
Yes.
The papers.
Absolutely.
The damage that they were doing.
Oh yes, it's deliberate undermining. But I, you know, isn't it lovely? I want to thank all the volunteers as well, you know, the volunteers in the church. I want to thank Mark. Look, he's there. Mark's not a preacher yet, although he may be a preacher in his sphere of influence. He may be a preacher. I think he is a preacher, actually. I feel a correction as I just said it. Yeah, you are. To your sphere of influence, you are already a preacher. And you know, Phil and Liz up there, you know, doing so much. And, of course, Pastors Beverly and Dennis, who came midweek, and Ruth and Pat and Dave and you know, so many. So, you know, we thank you all. And I don't want to leave anyone. I don't want to speak about you all. Ian, who does so much, and no one knows what Ian's been doing over the years. He's been spending so much time doing things, and you know, just well done, everyone. Honestly, well done. Yeah. I appreciate it so much because of what you're doing, and what you're doing, other people can have a chance. God can speak through them, through this, what we've had this morning, and touch their lives. It's a beautiful thing that's happening. Well, praise God. Praise God. We praise God, we really do. We have an encouraging, and isn't it lovely to see new guests coming week after week? Beautiful to see you. You're so welcome with us. You really are. And in the front, you're so welcome. And we appreciate you for coming, you know, and this is what it's all about, fellowship and encouraging one another and being a family in God, you know. We're all on the same team here. And we're going out into that world there now. As we leave today, we go out into that world. We know that Christ is on the inside of us. We use our imagination. I use my imagination to picture. I took the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. I drank them. He resides in me. I use that in my imagination. Christ lives in me. He lives in me. He works through me as I yield to him. It's so powerful, isn't it? Praise God, everyone. Let's stand. We'll have the last